This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, great to have you with us. Brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both businesses and athletes. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. We start our journey today with Mike Poorman, statecollege.com. Mike, welcome. Great to have you with us.
It's great to be back, Professor Jones. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Okay.
So, let's get into the House settlement and the $22 million that all the power schools have to come up with. It's either that or 22%. It turns out to be $22 million. If you're doing a 3 to 5 year budget projection, things, of course, that you have to do in the College of Communications, among other things, it's probably not there in last year's budget number. Okay. So what is it going to take for schools to come up with? Go ahead, Mike.
No, especially when Penn State's numbers that they submitted to the NCAA on $200 million of revenues showed a profit excess of $126,000. So you're right, it's not there.
So, there are going to be some changes. I mean, let's face it, the Playfly contract's now going to be in play in one of these budget projections. The college football playoff number is going to be up in the budget projection. There's going to be more money from TV in there in the next budget projection. It has to be, because we know it's all going up. So there is going to be money in there. But what does this do, in your opinion, to like an ACC school that doesn't have that kind of television contract and doesn't have that kind of radio contract?
Boy, I mean, you hit the nail on the head two ways. One, it is where Penn State's going to, and schools like Penn State are going to find that money. There's new money with the college football playoff. There's increased money with the TV deals kicking in across all the networks, and then additional sponsorships. You know, I think Playfly is a huge ad for Penn State. I mean, I think you're going to see immediately probably a seven-figure increase in revenues from them. But to answer your question, you're going to see cuts. Now, whether you're going to see sports being cut, that's very possible. But I think still head coaches are going to make the money, but I think you're going to see fewer staffers. I think you're going to see open positions. I think you're going to see, as tough as it sounds for conferences now become coast to coast, you're going to see cuts in travel. And I think you're going to see this happen is, and you know well, with the Austin money, where the Supreme Court ruling from a few years ago for athletic academic performance, which is now being seen as getting a 2.2, schools can give up to $6,000 per athlete.
Yeah.
I think you are going to see those Austin payments be cut or not be made. And I think cost of attendance, where schools are able to pay up to $5,000 a year to student athletes for travel, for books, for laptops, I think you're going to see that being cut. So between cost of attendance money and Austin money, that's $11,000 a year per scholarship athlete. I think that's going to be a thing in the past. It may even be a thing in the past for schools in the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah, and I think that's because I think what's going to happen is they'll say, hey, that money's actually being rolled into the $22 million. And I think that's going to be part of it. In other words, it's going to be all part of what you're doing. And I think that's, I'm not saying that's the excuse. I think that's what just you're going to hear people say.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's going to be, you're going to look at an overall compensation package of NIL, of house payments, of cost of attendance, of Austin, of scholarship, of room and board. And you're going to, student athletes are going to get, here's your amount for the year. It's not going to be parsed out in all those directions. That doesn't mean NIL is not going to stop, but it especially for the football, basketball, wrestling, maybe women's volleyball. But I think you're going to see more of here's the number you're going to get. And it's not going to be parsed out in five or six categories.
And Title IX is going to play a role in all this, and that can't be forgotten, and which I then think affects some other sports, because I think you have to make hard decisions here. What does this do, for example, for an average school in the Power Four about having more club sports as opposed to having varsity sports?
Well, that's a great question. I read something really interesting last week, Steve, that I need to do more research on before classes start and try to discuss this in the classroom. The Title IX question, you know, you could make a case from a labor perspective that the distribution of the house money and NIL money is based on earnings. So the large percentage of that is coming from broadcast contracts, and you're giving that money based on the money coming in broadcast-wise. So I saw a great piece written by a sports attorney where it said it may be that the House $22 million may be given out this way, 75% football, 5% men's basketball, 5% women's basketball, and 15% to everyone else. And the rationale is just what I stated, because the preponderance of that money is coming in not for Title IX, but it's coming in for revenues earned based on broadcast revenues. So it can be distributed that way.
Right. And that may end up out, but there's still going to be the possibility of having a you know, there's going to be some Title IX distribution in there, because I'm sure there's going to be a feeling that you have to do it at this point, especially you mentioned volleyball and women's basketball, who are certainly two popular sports to begin with, as if, say, for example, you're an Oklahoma softball player. They're a popular sport.
Now, that's a great example. I think, and I do think you're right, Steve. I think whether it's the Power 2, the Power 4, at the group level, you are going to see a retrenchment of some varsity sports to meet Title IX requirements. It's interesting. Harvard has the most, among Division I, has the most varsity sports programs, 42.
Right.
But they don't give out any scholarships. So it's easy for them to meet the Title IX requirements. Whereas once you start giving out scholarships, Austin money, cost of attendance money, then Title IX really does come into play, maybe not out of Penn State, and I think Penn State has a rich history with this 31 varsity sports, but I do think that maybe even the second tier Power Four, you know, the Vanderbilts, or certainly, you know, the Big 12 and the ACC schools, you may see a retrenchment as far as men's and women's teams. Here's one more example. Alabama only has 21 varsity sports.
Right.
It's going to be much easier for them to meet Title IX requirements than Ohio State, which has 36.
Right. Yeah, and Texas, for example, has 17. All right. And
it's, that's a great example.
Right. And now there's the next part. There was an article written about donor fatigue, and the article actually centered on Georgia, talking to some longtime season ticket holders about NIL and donor fatigue because, hey, look, we donate for seats, we donate for parking, then we pay for the tickets, you know, and they were going through it. How important can sponsorships now be, whether it's field or the potential of doing what the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball do right now with jersey sponsorships at this point to maybe ease donor fatigue because of this?
No, that's a great point. I think they are going to have to look for new revenues, they meaning whether it's the schools or the playflies of the world. The interesting thing about that is that I think there is value to be had. Now, whether everyone's going to be happy about that, but there was a thing the other day where one of the marketing companies put a value of a patch on a jersey at the upper-level schools, and they listed Penn State, was $6 million.
Right.
So it's not a donation. It's a value. Right. If you get a patch on a jersey, it's a value if you get something on the field. And here's another thing that you're going to see happen, and the timing is interesting. It even kind of includes a little Title IX. The playflies of the world, when you look at the success of Caitlin Clark and the growth of women's athletics, you're opening up a whole new category of potential sponsors and ways for them to reach their audience through college athletics that had never been an avenue before. So I think if you're able to give value for that money, and now there's more opportunities than ever. Now, you may see maybe a preponderance of that, and you don't think the college athletics is going to become NASCAR or minor league baseball, and no offense to the Spikes. I think Wagner Company do an awesome job of incorporating value for the community, but I do think you hit the nail on the head. The money has to come from other sources in addition to the donors.
I mean, they're already allowed to now start putting sponsor logos on the field. Just so everybody knows, the last game that Penn State played was the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And, of course, right? And the logos were at midfield, which was the actual peach in the whole deal, but then Chick-fil-A standing alone at between the 20 and 30 on each side. And I don't think anybody noticed or cared, to be honest with you, Mike. I think you'll notice and care the first time you see it. After that, I think it becomes a fabric.
No, I think that's an outstanding point, and it's very recent. And I kind of laugh because, and you know this because you're around the guys all the time, especially football-wise, they love Chick-fil-A. When you look at bounce that Chick-fil-A gets, the Pop-Tarts fool gets.
Yeah.
I mean, if you pair it, and I'm not saying Hershey's going to do it, but, you know, I mean, Hershey's a natural, right?
Yeah.
It's a Pennsylvania corporation, a product people love. In fact, and you know I love this stuff, Steve, the head of global innovation for Hershey Foods, that where they create new kind of candies, guess where he went to school?
Yeah, he went to school at Penn State.
Absolutely. So those ties are cool.
And so now let's get to the part that hasn't been approved yet, and that is the jersey patch. So we'll take a player that is now gone because she's now in the WNBA. What, you know, it would have been a natural tie-in last year for Iowa to be with State Farm, for example. One thing I will say about the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball uniforms, they've done a great job of not making the logos. Yeah, it doesn't say Fly Emirates across the front, right? They blend in, except for Love's Truck Stops with the Oklahoma City Thunder because of the yellow heart. All their logos, whether it's Chime with the Nuggets, Vista Print with the Celtics, StubHub with the, at one point, I guess Crypto.com now for the Sixers, they actually blend in with the jerseys.
Well, you—it's a great point. You remember when
here comes the Nike
Bush was added to the Penn State jersey, and what the uproar is or was. But it's hard to see. It's ingrained literally in the fabric of the memory now. When you look at logos like that, and the examples you gave.
Well, because I spoke in Johnstown last week and I brought this up, and they said, "Oh, well, what, the swoosh isn't advertising enough?" And I looked over and I said, "Guys, it's 2024. I said, every time they get a sponsor like that, it takes pressure off donors to donate. And everybody looked up and went, yeah, you're right.
No, and I think that's the key. It does take the pressure off of them. And you're looking at value. There's a reason private equity wants to get into college athletics. Yeah. Right now, college athletics are undervalued in the marketplace as far as reaching the audience at a great price.
So I'm glad you brought up private equity, Mike, because I want to ask you about that. It's not as if private equity can't help. It's what private equity expects from you in exchange for the money. And there are a lot of people I know that are wary of private equity if it's done extensively. Not that private equity shouldn't be done, but to what extent? What have you heard about that?
Well, there was I just saw this on Sportico, which is a great sports industry newsletter. And they didn't name the company, they didn't name the school, but it was a school that had an annual athletics budget of about $150 million, which puts you in the neighborhood of a Purdue or a Minnesota. And their expectations as far as what a private equity firm wants is they want a 2% annual fee, and then they want 20% of revenues. And they expect to recoup their money in 5 years.
Right.
And after that, that's when they kick in. So it's a five-year investment for the private equity firm to get their money back. And then you're looking at 20% annual revenue. And here's the thing. Even if you're a Penn State and you're flat last year at $126,000 profit, if the private equity is going to help you fund the stadium where you're going to bring in a massive amount of new money, yeah, then it makes sense that private equity is going to share in that money.
And by the way, I don't expect the revenue to be flat next year because that's where the first TV – and again, remember, the Big Ten TV contract's backloaded. But the first installments came in this budget year. Keep in mind the first installments of the Playfly money do not come in until the year after because they just started. And then the first installments of the college football playoff come in the year after that. So I don't expect to see flat numbers, Mike, in each of the next three reports because each year will have an additional bump.
No, I'm saying they were flat. They were flat last year.
Right, no, and you're absolutely accurate about that. And I'm saying that I don't expect to see that in each of the next 3 years because there'll be revenue sources that weren't there before.
No, and you know, I got to tell you, we're not going to see, you're right, we're not going to see it this year.
Right.
But if this report, I think it was from Engage, valued a jersey patch at $6 million a year
for football,
for a single school.
Right, right.
That's transformational in and of itself. Now, you have to sell it, and Pat had some good comments, Pat Kraft, the last week about that. It's one thing to say it. It's another to do it.
That's right.
Even at half of that, $3 million a year is a really significant chunk of change.
Well, and, you know, that's $6 million for football. You can get others for other sports, too. The key is to sell it, and the key is not so the people in the stadium go, oh, look, sponsor, it's on TV every play.
Yeah.
That's the key to it. It's on TV. And you know what? I was talking with Sweeney Murdy a couple weeks ago. He said what really interests him is that he'll go to games and he sees Yankee fans buying jerseys with the Star Insurance patch on the side of it because they want to have the current jersey and they don't care the patch is there.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. He's a great guy, and he's super smart because he's made the jump from just a New York market to all Major League Baseball. But you're right; it's totally being authentic. I even thought of this with you brought up, Steve. But let's say you get a sponsor. Penn State gets a sponsor for the jerseys of just all the women's team. So if you get someone like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal or Dove just for the women's team, that exposure times all the women's teams times all the TV is a great tie into a new market.
And remember, all the sports are on TV because of BTN. So you're going to get TV exposure no matter what, which sport it happens to be. Well, this...
I think, Steve, we should sit in the next marketing meeting, you and I.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure they'd love to see my shining face come in there. Oh, what does he want? Mike, always a pleasure. This was a great conversation, and what you did was fabulous. Loved it.
All right. Hey, thanks for asking. And Todd, appreciate you having me on, too.
Mike Poorman, StateCollege.com. And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It's hot out. Brewers Outlet's the answer to that. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, among many other outlets. Sir, welcome to you. Happy training camp week.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Doing really well and looking forward to camp. Last week was Big Ten Media Day, days. Did you learn anything from that?
Well, I to make sure everybody knows this. I was not there, but what I did not really learn anything. No, not anything really earth-shattering. You know, the Abdul Carter thing, I think, you know, the fact that James Franklin confirmed that he was going to play both positions, but I wrote something off after interviewing Abdul immediately after the Blue White game, and he made it sound like he was going to be playing both positions. So that didn't surprise me, but really nothing that comes to my mind right now.
Yeah, no, exactly. What I told everybody here was that when they get to the conference media days, to me it's always the commissioner that is to me of the most interest, because during the year he's the one that actually speaks to the media the least. And Rich, I learned more from him. I don't know about you, but I learned more from him because he didn't talk a lot.
Right. No, I mean, the only thing that I think their status quo with the 18 schools, I mean, that is something. I mean, and then we could go on and on about NIL and everything else, but I think that was the big takeaway, that they're not interested, doesn't sound like it, that they're interested in expanding anytime soon.
No, as I said to the people when I was down in Florida, I had two speaking engagements down there, and of course with Florida State there, I got asked about it. And I said, I want to see how 18 works first. It's never been done before.
Yeah. Right. That's a great point, Steve. I mean, it's you know, to us, it's a little unwielding because 18 is it's crazy, but that's what it is. That's what it is. So yeah, I think the Big Ten probably feels the same way. Let's see what how we do with 18.
Do you have to do a conference preview?
I will do one. Yes, I haven't done it yet. That is yes.
So now I want to ask you, what's it going to take to be up to speed on Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA as you put that together?
A lot of reading. I mean, I've done some reading, but it's going to take a lot of reading. I saw Oregon and Washington play last year. I did not see UCLA, maybe like bits and pieces. I'm trying to remember if I saw USC. I probably did. I just don't remember right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, it is. It's going to take time. And obviously with Penn State playing UCLA, USC, and Washington, you're going to have to come up, you know, get up to speed with it. I know Washington looks like it's starting from scratch with one returning starter. But yeah, I think Oregon is rightfully so. Everything that I've read is they're one of the favorites along with Ohio State to get to the Big Ten championship game. You know, they looks like they have the best quarterback in the conference, at least the one, the most experienced and the most one who's had the most success in Dillon Gabriel.
When you talk to fans, what do they love about college football today, and where do they have reservations about college football today?
Let's start with the second question. They can't stand NIL and anything regarding that and the transfer portal. I hear that all the time. I can't remember if I was on with you. I spoke at Penn State Hazleton in June, and I got inundated with questions about NIL and the transfer portal. And I said, we could all gnash our teeth, but it's here to stay. What do they like about it? I still think people like, I think they like the Saturdays, you know, going to a game, watching games on television. I think that's still important to a lot of people. I mean, especially when you see the money that's involved now in this sport, I think that's clear that it still remains one of the most popular sports in this country. And I think it's all, you know, the tradition, the crowds, I hate to sound like, you know, rah-rah, but this college spirit part of it. I think the thing that they don't like is the fact that amateurism is over.
Right. So you spoke at Hazleton, probably way better than the guy they had there last year.
I heard. Yeah, I saw a lot of old friends there and met
a lot of new ones. It was a very enjoyable night.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was great. They're great people there. I enjoyed it when I was there last year. You were probably exponentially more informative. So,
I don't know about that.
So now when you look at this team, everybody knows the wide receiver part is, you know, it's the one everybody talks about over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a need to rehash it here for the 500th time. So pick something else that would be on the list of, okay, if this ends up being better, they'll be good.
Well, I think there's two positions other than wide receiver that come right after it. And to me, it's the offensive line and also the cornerbacks. Because let's start with the offensive line. Drew Shelton is coming off an upper body surgery. We saw what he could do 2 years ago as a freshman. Mm-hmm. I think the Penn State coaching staff has a lot of faith in him being playing left tackle, succeeding Olu Fashanu. But you also have you only have two returning starters, however you want to look at this, J.B. Nelson and Sal Warmley. I think Sal, I talked to Sal in the spring. He feels like he has a lot to prove. He feels like he's in a better place going into this season. He'll be at guard, and J.B. Nelson or Vega Ione will be at left guard. But the center, Nick Dawkins, has not played a lot of football.
Yeah.
He's been on the roster, obviously. He's a terrific team leader, terrific individual. But there's some question marks. We'll see, you know, how he does. And right tackle, as you know, is up in the air, whether that's Nolan Rucci or Anthony Donko or somebody else. So I think there's some, you know, there's some question marks there. There's also depth. So I think that's something to watch early in the season. In the corners, you know, I think there's depth there, but with Cam Miller and Zion Tracy and Elliot Washington, and also A.J. Harris and Jalen Kimber, let's see who emerges. You know, you have two former Southeastern Conference corners in Harris and Kimber. You know, I would expect that they're going to, if they don't start, they're going to play a lot. And so I'm interested and curious in seeing those two positions after the wide receiver position.
And I'll give you one other name, speaking of former SEC corners, is Adavian Collins. That may be a guy that takes a long look.
Honestly, I forgot about him from Mississippi State.
I did a thing this morning. Where I was running down the team or whatever, and they were asking me about the offensive line. I forgot to mention J.B. Nelson. So it's like when you're doing like 1,000 names.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But you
agree that the quarterback, I'm not saying it's a weakness or a strength or anything like that. I'm just curious to see how it plays out.
Well, I'm curious to see how it plays out as to who gets the playing time. I mean, that's the entire point.
Are they going to rotate 4 or 5 corners? You know, I think obviously with Tom Allen's defense, the 4-2, you know, the safeties are going to play a lot, and I'm interested in seeing how that works. You know, with 3 very, very good safeties. So, the offensive line and the corners to me, you know, wide receiver first, of course.
Right.
But the most curious I am is to see how Andy Kotelnicki and Tom Allen, how they, as offensive and defensive coordinators, what kind of impact they will have on this team.
Right, no question. And the other part, too, is speaking of the secondary, I want to see who the fourth safety is. I want to see who emerges as the fourth safety, because King Mack transferred out. Now, who does that open the door to? Is it Lamont Payne, for example? Could it be him? Could it be one of the freshmen? Could they take one of the corners and move them over? I mean, that's what I'm interested to see that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm interested, you know, the other thing, as I mentioned earlier, is how much does Abdul Carter play at defensive end and how much does he play at linebacker? Obviously, he's an impact player, and it'll be very interesting, I would even go as far as fascinating to see how he's used by Tom Allen on defense.
Then there's the place-kicking part of it.
Yep.
I mean, you feel pretty good. at least I do, about punter Riley Thompson. Was even better in the spring than he was during the season last year. Gabe Wosu kicking off. But then there's place kicker. First of all, Penn State's cornered the market on left-footed kickers between Sahadic and Barker. And then you got Chase Meyer coming in. And what's your viewpoint? I mean, like, not who's in front of where, just your viewpoint on that part of it and settling it as quickly as possible.
Right. I think that's most important, is settling it as quickly as possible. And I don't think it'll be settled in the first week of camp. I think it'll go down to the end, and they'll look at the numbers from camp and from scrimmages and see how they did. I think, you know, Xander Sahadak, who's from the Lehigh Valley, I think, you know, he was a terrific high school kicker. And I think the fact, I think Penn State would like to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? Like, I think all things being equal, I think he would end up being the kicker to start the season. You know, Meyer was very, very good at Tulsa. So I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. Obviously, you can't really fool around with kicking, because kicking is such a big part of the game. But yeah, that'll be interesting to watch.
And the other part is Justin Lustig gives it fresh eyes, because that's the third new coordinator in there.
Right, right. It, you know, it's it, we know that continuity is important, but we also know that coaches move around a lot in college football. You know, to have three new coordinators in 1 year, you know, that's a change. That's definitely a change.
There's also a couple of other changes that are taking place in college football. People that were analysts before now will be allowed to be on-field coaches all the time. The use of iPads, the use of helmet communication, as for some odd reason, college football has decided to try the 21st century just for a couple laughs.
Yeah, right.
What do you think all these changes actually mean to the product we see?
Well, I think it'll help. I mean, the product doesn't need to, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, but I think it'll help. I do. I'm interested to see with the new rules, with, you know, you could have unlimited assistant coaches. What happens at Penn State? Like, does Danny O'Brien, does he become the full-time quarterback's coach? I mean, he is in effect, he's the full-time quarterback's coach. But does he lose his GA title? Who else gets named, you know, assistant offensive line coach or assistant defensive line coach or any, you know, like that? That's going to be instead of analysts. So I'll be interested to watch that, if that happens, you know, before. If it's happened, it's already happened. Yeah. But if James Franklin announces that on Saturday at Media Day.
What about Bo Prabula? Everyone knows Drew Aller. You know, he's got 1 year under his belt. How curious, what is your level of curiosity about Bo Prabula and where he fits here?
I think, based on what I watched, and I can't say I've watched hours upon hours of Kansas film or tape, but I've seen a lot. I think you're going to see the two quarterbacks on the field together at times. That doesn't mean in 20 plays a game or anything like that. No. But I think there's going to be, you know, maybe five or six snaps that both quarterbacks are going to be on the field. And Andy Kotelnicki is very creative. He was very creative at Kansas, using two quarterbacks there. So I think Bo Prabula, as James Franklin said last week, he was a part of the offense last year. He's going to be a big part of the offense this year. In exactly what capacity, we'll find out. But I think Bo Prabula has value. I still think Drew Aller is the better passing quarterback. I do. But I think Bo Prabula has value to this particular Penn State team.
What about the schedule? I mean, West Virginia, there's no question, is a really tough opener down there. And from a Penn State point of view, I'm glad it's at noon and not at night. I mean, you and I have both had experience seeing that. But what about the schedule and the way it lays out and the fact that Penn State doesn't have that road of going through the Big Ten East any longer?
I think it's a very favorable schedule. I do. And I'm with you. I think there was a lot of relief in your area when it was announced that the West Virginia game would start at noon. I think that's that's a big difference than a night game down there. I think the schedule plays out well. Penn State does not play Oregon, Michigan, or Iowa. That they're three of the top teams that the polls that I have seen or the predictions, three of the top five teams in the Big Ten, and the other two are Ohio State and Penn State. Will trips to USC and Wisconsin be challenging? Sure. No question. But I think this is a very good schedule for Penn State, and a very good opportunity to not only make the playoff, but get a home game in the playoff or even a bye. You know, if they're fortunate enough to get into the Big Ten championship game and win that game, I think I like how the schedule plays out. I know James has made a big deal about traveling to the West Coast for that USC game, but he also maybe forgets to mention that Penn State has a bye week the next week. Yeah. So I like how it plays out. I do. I really, really do. And I think it's a good opportunity for the Lions to make a run here.
Yeah, the 14 Central and Eastern time zone teams that go to the West Coast to play a game, 8 have byes the next week, including Penn State. The other 6 have home games. So the Big Ten did put some thought into it.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand why he has some concerns about going into the game, about how to travel and everything like that. I get that. But you also have a bye week after, and you have time to recover. But I think it's exciting. I mean, it's a little overwhelming with 18 teams, on one point. But really, the fact that you're going to play UCLA and Washington, I know UCLA is not what UCLA has been, and that Washington is sort of reloading, rebuilding, however you want to put it. But you're playing them at home, you're playing Ohio State at home, and then you're playing at USC and Wisconsin. I mean, it's still a formidable schedule, but I'm talking about in terms of, as the Big Ten goes, that it's a favorable schedule. And I think it is, and I think it's exciting.
Rich, always a pleasure. We're finally to that time of the year. Thanks so much for your time. Valuable and important.
My pleasure, Steve. I'll see you on Saturday.
And that is Rich Scarcella. Saturday, by the way, will be Media Day. So we got that coming up. This half hour of the show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.